Please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharajas. This is Kalasudha Devi Dasi here. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavaskanam, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic Sri Madhuvastakam. We'll continue the session 4. I'll hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll continue our session for Sri Madhurashtakam, starting from from verse number 4. This is Madhurashtakam, as we know, is written by Sri Vallabhacharya. The text 4.
Gītam madhuram, pītam madhuram, bhuktam madhuram, shuktam madhuram, rūpam madhuram, tilakam madhuram, madhurādhipate, akhilam madhuram.
Translation. His singing is sweet. His yellow cloth is sweet. His eating is sweet. His sleeping is sweet. His beauty is sweet. His tilaka is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor of sweetness. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swamini Jinamini Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamini Jinamini Nama Acharya Pradaya Ritaikrava Pradaya Ne Gorakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatani Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Jinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dejitarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Gayati Girin Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Ram Tat Sat. So this fourth Madhura verse, such a beautiful verse. Sri Vallabhacharya is saying that Gītam Madhuram means whatever Krishna says is sweet, is whatever Krishna says is like a song. This is even confirmed by Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita.
Katha gaanam natyam gamanam api vamsi priya sakhi.
Every katha is like a gaanam. And gamanam is like natyam. In the spiritual world, it is explained in the Brahma Samhita, the last few verses. In this, it falls in the last verse that we recite. That Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world, basically, every katha is like a song. And every gamana means their walking is like natyam. Katha ganam, natyam gamanam. So when they speak, it's like not just flowers, you know, when flowers are rained, or like when we have pushpa vrishti, which means when flowers rain upon us, or when we have that aha moment, when we hear something so beautiful, we feel like that. So Krishna and the pure devotees, when they speak, it is like that aha moment. We feel that every word coming out of their lotus mouth is like nectar. It's so beautiful. So katha ganam, that Krishna's talking, he doesn't just, you know, talk. It's not karkasha. Karkasha means very harsh and rough. But Krishna talks very sweet. His talking is like singing. That is why when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita, of course it is named a Gita. Gita means one that is something that is sung. It's called Gita. So Krishna actually was chastising Arjuna. Do we remember that? The beginning of the second chapter, when Krishna first starts speaking, his first words were actually words of chastisement to Arjuna. Ashochya nanva shochatvam pragya vadam cha bhasate gata suna gata sum cha nanu shochanti pandita. Oh my dear Arjuna, you're talking as if you're a big scholar, but you're actually a very big fool. Krishna's calling somebody a fool. And of course, not a flower, but foolish person. Krishna's saying that right in Arjuna's face. That's the first thing that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. Ashochyanam ashochyastvam. That you're talking like a great pragya, you're talking like a great learned scholar, but you're a fool. You don't have any intelligence, my dear Arjuna. But even that scolding, even that, you know, this is actually scolding. Krishna is actually chastising Arjuna. So how can chastisement be in a song? How can chastisement be so sweet, so nectarian? That is the quality of Krishna. Because Krishna's love, he is not chastising Arjuna out of hate. You know, when we become angry, and the anger, the words that come out of our mouth in anger, they are like as if fire is coming. You know, we spit out fire. When we talk of others in a negative way, we spit out fire. We are so envious. There's no trace of love in anything that we speak. But Krishna, his love towards us is so amazing. It is so unparalleled that even when Krishna chastises us, we feel that he is actually speaking so sweetly. He is actually so sweet in his talks, because his chastisement is also showing and manifesting his unconditional love for us. The same with pure devotees, the representatives of Krishna. When they chastise us, our gurus, when they chastise us, we don't feel so dejected and rejected. We don't feel like that. Why? Because their love is so overpowering. Their love is so much on the transcendental platform that we know for sure that whatever they are saying is for our benefit. That they are not speaking out of envy, but they are speaking out of pure love for us. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, one of his glorious disciples is Srila Kirti Prabhu. And Srila Kirti Prabhu, he had the great fortune of being Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for a very long time. And if any time we sit with Srila Kirti Prabhu, the only pastimes that he ever tells is of the past tense of Srila Prabhupada chastising him. How much chastisement he's received from Srila Prabhupada. That goes on to show how, you know, Srila Prabhupada actually once told him also. Srila Prabhupada said that, my dear Srila Kirti, the reason why I can chastise you is that I know that whatever I say, you will not go away. You know, sometimes we have such big egos that when somebody chastises us, even though it is done with so much of love, but if that trust is not there, then our ego is hurt. And then we just drift away from that person. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada would be very, very careful to whom he is giving special mercy of chastisement. You know, chastisement is given to very near and dear ones. Because we love them so much, we want to correct them so that they don't commit that mistake. So when we receive chastisement from another devotee, we should feel that, oh, this devotee really considers me to be one of their own, you know, very dear one. And that's why they're chastising me, so to correct me. So I should feel so fortunate, especially when our guru does this. So Srila Prabhupada, he actually would say this, that I cannot chastise every one of my disciples because I know if I chastise them, that they will leave me and go away. So I have to glorify them. But there are very few people who can take the chastisement. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu was one of them. Every day he would receive chastisement from Srila Prabhupada. Oh, this is not right, that's not right, go and fix this, go and do that. I mean, Srila Prabhupada would always, you know, be behind Shruti Kirti Prabhu, you know, keeping him on his toes. And that's why we see that till today, Shruti Kirti Prabhu is a glorious Vaishnava. Such a glorious Vaishnava. He's made up of chastisement by Srila Prabhupada, of Srila Prabhupada. Such a glorious position. A glorious servant of a glorious master. So, Krishna himself, in the Bhagavad Gita, he is giving so much chastisement. He's speaking very, very strong words. But even though Krishna is speaking such strong words, but still, we call it Bhagavad Gita, song of God. The song of God. Bhagavat means Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Gita, the song. So the song of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Bhagavad Gita. So Gita Madhura. So everything that Krishna speaks is Madhura. It is so nectarian, so sweet. Gita Madhuram, Pita Madhuram. Now Pita Madhuram can have two meanings. One, as we read, is that Krishna always wears Pitambari Vastra, which means yellow garments. That's what is the most a trademark of Krishna. You know, that he is recognized by his yellow Vastra, by his Pitambari Vastra. Now, Pita also means Paniya, means anything that is nicely, you know, drunk. So Krishna, you know, whatever he drinks, is also nectar. And it also means that whatever comes out of Krishna is also nectarian. Like the water that washes Krishna's lotus feet is Charana Amrita. Charana Amrita. So like this, we need to understand that this is the two meanings of the word Pitam. Bhuktam Madhuram, Shuktam Madhuram. Bhuktam Madhuram means whatever Krishna eats is sweet. Whatever he eats is sweet. Bhuktam Madhuram. Bhuktam Madhuram, in this regard, I always remember how Krishna Balaram, they love to eat. They just love to eat. When Krishna Balaram especially come as manifest as Jagannath and Baladev, you know, Balabhadra is the one with the sweet tooth. He just loves sweet. So much to such an extent that if there is no sweet on his plate, he just loses it. One time what happened is that Lakshmi Devi, she is the one, it is said that Lakshmi Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Jagannath, she is the one who is in charge of Lord Jagannath's kitchen in Jagannath Puri. There is nobody else who cooks for Lord Jagannath, even till today. So actually it is said that they have a very big golden deity of Lakshmi Devi in the kitchen of Lord Jagannath. And the Pandas, what they do is that they take pots, you know, little clay pots, and they mix up everything, they cut up the vegetables, they mix everything, and then they put them in the pots and they stack them one on top of the other like that. And then they just light the fire, and then they keep a, you know, ladle in Lakshmi Devi's hands, and they all leave from the kitchen. When they come back, the bhoga is ready. This is what happens. This is one of the miracles of Jagannath Puri. And it is said that Lakshmi Devi, when she cooks, look at this miracle. Generally, the pot that is, which is the most near to the fire, logically that should get cooked first. But because it is transcendental, it is beyond the laws of nature, it is beyond the laws of physics. So what happens in Lakshmi Devi's kitchen is that the pots are stacked one on top of the other. The top which is on the topmost, the pot which is on the topmost, that gets cooked first. And then the second, then the third, then the fourth, and then the last one, which is the nearest to the fire. Because if the first one gets cooked first, there's nobody to, you know, see it. And it can get burned. But Lakshmi Devi's magic, her mystic potency, makes the fire reach the topmost pot first and then travel down. This is the mystical arrangement that goes on in Lakshmi Devi's kitchen in Jagannath Puri. So mystical. So one time, Lakshmi Devi, every day, day in, day out, she would serve Jagannath Baladev and their most, you know, doted sister, Subhadra Devi. So she would cook for all three brothers and sisters. And then one day, she very humbly approached Lord Jagannath, her husband. And she said, "My dear Lord, you know, I have some, you know, very, very poor devotees of mine who live just, you know, just beyond this little hillock. They just live over there. They're called the Shabara. They're very dear to you also. And they're my ardent devotees. But they're very poor. And they have been praying so much to me. I feel captivated by their, you know, ardent desire to worship me. And I just feel that I want to go and, you know, be with my devotees. Can I go for some time?" Lord Jagannath says, yeah, go, we will manage. You please go, you also deserve a vacation. So you must go, please go. So Lord Jagannath gave permission to his beloved wife to go from the palace, from Jagannath Puri's palace, from their temple, the Sriji Mandir, and then go to visit her pure devotees. So she was doing like a nice preaching tour of visiting her devotees. So Balabhadra, he got up the next day. As soon as he woke up, he's hungry. And then he said, "Hey Jagannath, where's Lakshmi Devi? Why she's not bringing her bhoga? I am so hungry. Please go and tell her." Jagannath, you know, he started sweating. He said, I didn't tell Balabhadra that Lakshmi Devi is going. So what's going to happen now? And then by this time it was like mid-morning time, around 10:30 in the morning, and Balabhadra was getting really restless and very, very hungry. And because he was getting hungry, he was getting angry also. He said, "Jagannath, where is your wife? Why is she not bringing any bhoga for us today? I am so hungry. And look at Subhadra, she's almost fainting out of hunger. She doesn't say anything, but look at her condition. And you, aren't you hungry?" Then Jagannath, you know, now he had to reveal that Lakshmi Devi is not in the palace. So then you know, Jagannath just said, well, Lakshmi Devi actually took my permission and she went to see her devotees, but she's going to come back, don't worry, she will come back. So then by this time, Lakshmi Devi, she had returned and she quickly cooked. You know, she knew that she was getting late. So she just quickly cooked something and she brought it in front of Jagannath Balabhadra and Subhadra. And she, when she brought it in front of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Balabhadra was so angry by this time. And he said, you left our service and you went to meet your devotees. How could you do this to us? We are sitting here hungry and you left us and went? You left our service? So now you go from here. We don't need your service. You just go from here. And Balabhadra was very angry. So then Lakshmi Devi was feeling very hurt. And she said, she was thinking in her mind, I took permission from my husband and I went and my husband is keeping quiet. He's not defending me. Lakshmi Devi was so hurt. And by feeling so much hurt, she just left the temple. And when she left the temple, all the opulence, all the Shri also left along with her. Immediately, all the opulences of Jagannath Mandir was boom. It was like gone with Lakshmi Devi and Balabhadra and Jagannath and Subhadra. They were, what's happening? Where did everything go? And then Balabhadra said, not to worry, not to worry. It's okay. We are going to show Lakshmi Devi that we are not dependent on her. So then both the Balabhadra told Jagannath, you come with me, Jagannath. Let's keep Subhadra here. She is my doted sister. I don't want to trouble her. But me and you, today we'll go into the kitchen and we will cook. Let's go. Then Balabhadra brought Jagannath and Jagannath quietly, yes, yes, Dauji Maharaj, let's go, let's go. So they both came, both the brothers came to the kitchen and then they started, you know, trying to light the fire to start cooking. They have to light the fire. But because all the opulence had left, all the Shri had left, Agnidev was not manifesting. Baladev, you know, what he was doing is that, you know, they don't take a matchbox and light the fire like that, matchstick. What they do is they used to, you know, after finishing up the cooking, they cover the fire with ashes. And then the next day when you start cooking, you add more firewood and then you use like a little bamboo stick, which is hollow from between, and then you blow, oof, 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 like that. If you blow, then the ashes start clearing away and then the fire manifests. So this is the process of lighting the fire. And Balabhadra said, okay, Jagannath, get firewood. And they put the firewood there. And Balabhadra was, you know, oof, oof, oof. He was trying to blow. But Agnidev is not manifesting. So as soon as he did oof, 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 all of those gray color ash, all of it came on Balabhadra's white lotus-like face. And his face was covered in, you know, gray color. He had become gray color. Jagannath is already black. And here, Balabhadra, he lost his white color. He became gray color. All ashes all over his body. And he said, okay, well, this program of cooking in Lakshmi Devi's kitchen is ruined. So no problem. Let's go into the city. We'll go and beg. As Brahmanas, let's go out. And then let's go and beg for some bhoga. So we can bring back something for us and something for my dear sister Subhadra. So let's go, Jagannath. So then both of them dressed up as Brahmanas and then they went out door to door begging. They knocked on the first door. Please, Bhiksham Dehi, Bhiksham Dehi. The first person came out and said, oh, sorry, Brahman Devta. Today we had a death in the family. I cannot give you anything. We are not allowed to give anything. So sorry, please forgive us. They went to the next door. A little girl came out. Oh, I don't know where anything is. You know, my mata and my pita are not here. I'm sorry, I can't give you anything. They said, okay, no problem, no problem. They just went to the next house. So like this, every house Jagannath and Balabhadra went to, they were not getting any bhiksha. Nobody was giving them anything. The bottom line being, Shri had left both of them. Lakshmi Devi had left both of them. So then, finally, they came to this little village of the Shabaras. When they came there, Jagannath, you know, actually tricked Baladev and said, let's go to that village, because Jagannath had a hint that maybe Lakshmi Devi would be there in that village with her dear devotees. So Jagannath said, okay, Balabhadra, let us go there, Dauji Maharaj, you know, let's go there. So Balabhadra said, okay, let's go. So then Jagannath and Baladev, they came to the first house in that village, they knocked on the door, and then they saw the house, you know, whose house it was. They came out and they received the Brahman Devta so nicely. They said, yes, please come. We will cook for you. You please come. They made them sit very nicely. And then one by one, beautiful traditional items, which Jagannath and Baladev used to adore and admire, those kind of items started coming. One by one, they all started coming. And Jagannath Baladev were, you know, they're saying, okay, we will also eat and, you know, we'll have another plate because our sister is at home and she's also very hungry. So then they said, yes, we'll make a to-go box for your sister. Don't worry. So then both the brothers were sitting and relishing the prasad. They were so happy. They were so hungry also. And beautiful items, like it started with shark, then all the bitter melon sabjis, the karelas, and then different kinds of sabjis were coming one by one with hot rice, which was, you know, draped so nicely with melted ghee, the nice, you know, chapatis. All of this was coming one by one. Hot items were coming. And Jagannath and Baladev, they were so much getting satisfied, completely satisfied when they were eating. Then towards the end of the meal, when it was time for the desserts to come, Madhuram Samarpaye means when they end with sweets. So when the first sweet came, Baladev looked at Jagannath and he said, hey, this is my favorite sweet, because Baladev is the one with the sweet tooth. So then, you know, that sweet was like Baladev is used to eat Malpua with Rabdi. If you go till today, around evening time, Baladev, this special offering is made only to Lord Baladev. And his Malpuas are like dosas, you know, like big, thin, you know, like sweet dosas. And it is dipped in thick milk, you know, like condensed milk, which is rabri. So these two combination is Balabhadra's hot favorite items. So as soon as this came, you know, cold rabri and hot malpuas, you know, hot doshas. So then Baladev started dipping and was, you know, melting in his mouth, and he was relishing. So nice. He was relishing every bite. And then the masterpiece dessert came, which is chana pura. Chana pura is the most famous sweet in Jagannath Puri, because it is dear to even Jagannath and to Balabhadra. Chana pura means paneer, which is burnt, basically like a paneer cake. It's very beautiful, very tasty, and it's very, very dear to both the brothers. So as soon as chana pura came on Balabhadra's plate, Balabhadra told the hosts, may I request you that please can you call my dearly beloved Jagannath, dearly beloved consort Lakshmi Devi. That we know that there is nobody else in the entire creation who can cook like this, like Lakshmi Devi. So please call her, Balabhadra said. So then Lakshmi Devi, wearing, you know, her pallu like this, she very shyly came out of the kitchen, and Balabhadra said, my dear Lakshmi Mata, I am so sorry that I told you to leave. You please come back. Without you, we have no survival. Please come back. We love to eat, and you are the one, like mother, you are providing for us. So please come back. And both the brothers then took Lakshmi Devi back to the temple with a nice big to-go box of a nice bhoga for their beautiful sister Subhadra Devi. So like this, you know, bhuktam madhuram. Like Lord Jagannath and Baladev, Krishna, he loves to eat. But Krishna, when we offer to Krishna, he is so magnanimous that his eating is so nectarian, it is so sweet, and it is so compassionate at the same time, that Krishna, he just, when we offer some bhoga to Krishna, he does magic over there. What is that magic? That Krishna eats. He accepts the love with which we offer the bhoga. And when Krishna tastes that love, he eats each and every grain of food that we are offering to him. Each and every grain of bhoga that we offer to him, Krishna eats it. Krishna tastes it. But because Krishna is absolute, nothing ever finishes on Krishna's plate. It is like Akshay Patra. Whatever we offer to him, he will give us back as it is. No depletion. Rather, there is an addition. Addition of what? Because Krishna eats everything. And he puts his nectarian saliva into the bhoga, making it pure, you know, prasad, which is infected. Sorry to use the word infected, but it is infected and invested with Krishna prema. So when we taste that prasad, we get the infection of Krishna prema. That is the glory of taking prasad. That is how merciful Krishna is. Shay annam rita pao, Radha Krishna gunagao. We say this before we eat every day. Every day we start honoring prasad, that we accept the Mahaprasad. And when we accept the Mahaprasad, which has been first tasted by Krishna, then we get infected with Krishna prem. Krishna prem gets invested in our self. This is the glory of Krishna's Mahaprasad. So Krishna's bhaktam is sweet. His shuptam is sweet, which means his shuptam means his sleeping is sweet. Krishna sleeps like a baby. Every single time, Krishna sleeps like a baby. So his sleeping is sweet. His beauty is unparalleled. It's so sweet. Krishna's beauty, it is said that how beautiful Krishna is, that whenever Srimati Radharani looks at Krishna, on whichever limb Srimati Radharani's eyes get fixated upon, she can't look at anything else, any other part of Krishna's body that particular time. She gets so mesmerized by the beauty of Krishna. That's how beautiful Krishna is. His beauty is sweet. His tilaka is sweet. His tilaka. Now, the first time that Mother Jashoda put tilaka on Krishna was after Putana took baby Krishna on the sixth day. And when Putana flew away with Krishna, and then, you know, like she became like a gorgeous, big, big, big mountain. And then she flew away with baby Krishna. Imagine the condition of Mother Yashoda. She was like, you know, becoming lifeless. And my, you know, flower-like child who just came to us after so many years. Can you imagine the condition of Mother Yashoda? After so many, many, many years, they were blessed with a baby. And that baby, during the, you know, this Shashti Puja, during the sixth day ritual, at that time, he got kidnapped by this treacherous demoness. Imagine the condition of Mother Yashoda. She had fainted. And where is my child? How did he go away? Where did he go away? How could anyone take him away from me? And everyone was like, Putana was flying with baby Krishna, and all the Brajavasis were running on the ground. They were like, oh, my Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They were becoming crazy, the entire Vrindavan. The ladies were running behind Putana. And after some time, Krishna was, you know, seeing, uh-oh, my mother is in too much anxiety. No, 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 I can't see her in so much anxiety. So then Krishna started weighing down upon Putana. He became so heavy that Putana could no longer carry baby Krishna. And she had to just land from her aerial flight, and she just landed. And as soon as she landed, Krishna literally just crushed her to the ground. And then she was, you know, Krishna just breathed out. He just, you know, breathed out her life. So when Mother Jashoda came, it was like, you know, the Brajabasis, they had to literally climb on Putana's body and bring baby Krishna down and hand him over to Mother Jashoda. Mother Jashoda just ran back, holding baby Krishna in her arms, in her loving embrace, and she brought him back to the palace. She immediately gave him a beautiful, you know, nectarian bath to just, you know, clean him up. And then as soon as she decorated him, after, you know, just like she just put on, you know, like some ornaments, and then in order to protect her beautiful child, Mother Jashoda, she took the cow dung. The cow dung is considered to be so auspicious. And she mixed Vraja Renu, means the dust of Vrindavan, she mixed in the cow dung. And she put some water of the Jamuna. She made it into a nice liquid. And with that, she put tilak for Krishna. And she put tilak on Krishna, not only on his forehead, but on all 12 parts of his body. And each part, she was chanting the mantra for every limb, wherever we are supposed to, just like how we do Om Keshavaya Namah, Om Narayana Namah, Om Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah. Like this, Mother Jashoda was putting tilak, and she was saying, Oh Keshava, Oh Madhava, Oh Padmanabha, please, please protect my beautiful child. For Krishna's protection, Mother Jashoda would put on tilak on him every single day. So that tilak is Madhura. Because that tilak was put on by Mother Jashoda with so much love as a shield of protection on her, you know, glorious child. That is Vatsalya Rasa. You know, so much of love Mother Jashoda would put on this tilak on baby Krishna every single day for his protection. So when we wear tilak, we do it in the same mood, that we are protecting ourselves against Maya. So that when we put on tilak, we are declaring that we actually are the property of Krishna. We are the property of our Guru Maharajas. You know, every pet dog, they have a belt, right? Any pet animal, they have a label that is, you know, like almost burnt into them. And they have, you know, collars to show that they belong to a master. So this tilak and our kanti malas, they are like that collar to show that we are property of our spiritual master. This tilak is the label that is stamped upon us to show that, my dear Yamadutas, we don't belong to you, but we are the property of our spiritual master. The glory of tilak is so much that it is said in the Padma Puran that anybody who sees a tilak on a forehead, that person, for that person, there are millions and millions of births of lifetimes of sinful reactions are crumpled down just by seeing tilak. Srila Prabhupada says that a body which is not adorned with tilak is a graveyard. It is a graveyard. It is nothing but just dead. Our body is dead matter. So if you want some life in the body, we must adorn the 13 parts of our body, all over our body, with tilak. It's very essential for our own protection and to show to everybody else that we are property of our spiritual masters in Krishna. That is the stamp that we need. We need that. The tilaka, wearing tilaka, is for protection. Like Mother Jashoda established this herself with Krishna himself. So tilakam madhuram. And everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Emperor of Sweetness, is so sweet. Text 5 is saying, karanam madhuram, taranam madhuram.
Karanam madhuram, taranam madhuram, haranam madhuram, ramanam madhuram, vamitam madhuram, shamitam madhuram, madhuradhipate akhilam madhuram.
His deeds are sweet. His liberating is sweet. His stealing is sweet. His love sports are sweet. His oblations are sweet. His tranquility is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Emperor of Sweetness. So here, in this particular verse, it is said, karanam madhuram. Karanam means karya, means all of his activities. Each and every one of Krishna's activities is so sweet. I mean, what Krishna does the entire day, everything of his activities is so sweet. Whether Krishna is going to graze the cows, you know, he leaves in the morning hours. As soon as the sun is up, Krishna is leaving in that early morning hours, you know, with his cows. He's following the cows into the forest of Vrindavan. And he will spend the entire day with his cowherd friends. And as soon as the mid-morning session comes, the mid-morning time comes, at that time when we have our class during the mid-morning session, that is the time that Krishna actually slips away from his cowherd boyfriends and he goes to Radha Kund to meet with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So that's what Krishna does in the mid-morning. Then after, you know, having some beautiful confidential pastimes with his gopis, then Krishna comes back again. He comes back to his cowherd boyfriends and then he enjoys his afternoon meal. When he enjoys his afternoon meal, he does such amazing pastimes that bewilders even Lord Brahma. When Krishna sits and eats, he doesn't just eat his own lunch dabba. They all bring little potlis. You know, potlis means little bundles of their prasad they carry with them. And that little bundle of prasad, they hang it on the banyan tree, you know. And when they hang it on that banyan tree, so, you know, it stays nice and cool in the shade of the banyan tree. That's like natural fridge. It's so amazing. When we do Brajamandal Parikrama, we realize this, you know. Each and every shade of the trees in Vrindavan, as soon as we go under those shades, we feel that as if, oh, there's coolness that just starts, you know, spreading all over us. It's literally like a fridge. And as soon as we step out of the shade of the banyan tree, then we feel, oh, it's so hot. The sun is scorching down upon us. So really, these statements of the acharyas that the banyan tree, where Krishna would hang his potli of prasad given by Mother Yashoda, those banyan trees are there till today. We can see them. We can sit under their shade. And it's really like a refrigerator. It's so nice, so cool. Such cool breeze blows there. So their prasad would not get spoiled in the hot scorching sun. So like this, Krishna would hang up his prasad. And it was afternoon time when as soon as Krishna would come back after his confidential pastimes with the gopis, then he would come back to the sakhas. It would be lunchtime. The sun would be right above their head. So then Krishna and all the sakhas, they would sit around the banyan tree and then they would start exchanging their potlis. They'd say, oh, what do you have today? What do you have today? What do you have today? And then everyone would like to offer something to Krishna. And then everyone would share their beautiful, you know, loving offering with Krishna. Krishna would share his offering with everybody. And they would eat. They would make fun and they would eat. This is the activities of Krishna. And this activity of Krishna one day even bewildered Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma thought, oh, let me go and check out what the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is doing at this time of the hour. Let me go down and see what beautiful leela my Lord is manifesting. So Brahma came down on his Hamsa Vahan, he came. And he flew down like this, and then he came into the, you know, forest where it was afternoon time. So Krishna was just eating. He had just started to eat. And that particular day, Madhu Mangala, he had not brought anything. He was a poor Brahmana boy. And he had just brought only a pot of buttermilk with him. Just a small little tiny pot of buttermilk. So Madhu Mangala was feeling so bad that, what will I offer to Krishna? I don't have anything too solid even to offer. It's all liquid. It's buttermilk. How can I offer this to Krishna? And then Krishna immediately realized Madhu Mangala is having and then something. So then Krishna said, Madhu Mangala, what do you have? And then Madhu Mangala said, no, Kanha, today, no, nothing. I don't have anything. I don't want to share what I have today. He said, no, share. Show me what you have. So then Madhu Mangala, you know, because he didn't want to share, he just quickly, you know, just drank all the buttermilk. And because he was drinking and Krishna almost came to him, so he couldn't finish the last, you know, the sip of buttermilk. The last sip was there. And, you know, drinking it so fast, he was not able to gulp down the last sip. And it was like filled in his mouth. Krishna said, Madhu Mangala, you're drinking all the nectar all by yourself. You're not giving anything to me. Not fair. So then Krishna went like this to Madhu Mangala. And like a stream of buttermilk then just went from Madhu Mangala's mouth straight into Krishna's mouth. Krishna opened his mouth and he was drinking the fountain of buttermilk which was coming from Madhu Mangala's mouth directly, and Krishna was drinking. Seeing this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma himself got bewildered. So what kind of person is this? This is the Supreme Person. Having the jhuta of Madhu Mangala, the coward boy. Yucks, ew. Brahma couldn't understand that Krishna was drinking nectar. He couldn't understand that. So then in order to test Krishna, you know what he did? He stole the cowherd boys, he stole the calves. And then for one full year, Krishna manifested himself as those sakhas and the calves. And everybody in Vrindavan, nobody knew about this. Only Balaram knew and Purnamasi knew about it. So then they got every of the girls married to every of the boys in Vrindavan that particular year on the instructions of Purnamasi. Purnamasi said that this particular time is very, very special. So get all your girls married to all the boys. And they all got married to Krishna, who was manifesting as all the boys. And then, you know, of course, Brahma came back and he realized his mistake. He begged for forgiveness. So like this, because of the offense that Brahma committed towards Krishna, of doubting the supremacy of Krishna, and violated, you know, and offended Krishna by stealing his dear devotees, he did a big offense, although he came and begged for forgiveness. But then Brahma was not feeling satisfied. So therefore, Brahma, because of that, you know, to get rid of that offense, he wanted to please Krishna. It is said that offense has two aspects, that we beg for forgiveness and we do service in such a way that that person is also pleased by us. So Brahma, he did beg for forgiveness from Krishna himself, but he thought to himself that I should render some service to my Lord to show that I'm really, really sorry for what I did and I beg forgiveness for that. So then Brahma, when Mahaprabhu came, you know, Krishna himself came with the mood of Radharani to Navadvip Dham. At that time, Brahma appeared as Haridas Thakur. And as Haridas Thakur, he would always remain very close to Nimai Pandit, to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas and he made Jagannath Puri Nilachal Dham as his headquarters, at that time, Haridas Thakur also stayed with Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri for those 18 long years. And every single day, while Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he would by default visit Haridas Thakur every single day. And what tribulations Haridas Thakur went through in his life to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. Because being a Mohammedan, he was chanting the name of Krishna. So then Mahaprabhu, he was so pleased, Krishna was so pleased with Haridas Thakur that when he was getting beaten up in these 22 marketplaces, Haridas Thakur was actually in ecstasy. Because he was realizing that, yes, for the mistake that I have done, I actually deserve worse than this. The mistake that he did as Brahma. I deserve worse than this. But Krishna, you're so kind. You're just getting me beaten up. That's perfectly fine. It's okay. But Krishna, he cannot see his devotees in trouble. So then Krishna personally came. And when the soldiers were beating up Haridas Thakur, Krishna personally took those, beatings on his own back. That is how merciful Krishna is. That is how dear the devotees are to Krishna. So he didn't allow Haridas Thakur to get beaten up. Krishna took it personally. Mahaprabhu took it personally. So Mahaprabhu was so pleased with the efforts of Haridas Thakur that Mahaprabhu actually declared Haridas Thakur to be Nama Acharya, the Acharya of the holy name. The main purpose for which Mahaprabhu appeared was to give Krishna Naam to all of us. Koli Juge Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. This Naam, the holy name, Krishna appears in Kali Yuga as the holy name. And Mahaprabhu came to give this holy name to all of us. So this is our Yuga Dharma. And who is the Acharya of this Yuga Dharma? It is Haridas Thakur. That is the position that Mahaprabhu gave him. Because Brahma was so determined that he wanted to please Krishna for the offense that he had committed. And Krishna was pleased. That attitude that Brahma had, to counteract his offenses, Krishna accepted it and made him Nama Acharya. So we should always understand, that's what Haridas Thakur is actually called as, Brahma Haridas. And we should always understand that when we commit offense to a Vaishnava, that there are two aspects to it. That we must go and beg forgiveness from the Vaishnava, and we must serve the Vaishnava in such a way that they are pleased with us. That Krishna will be pleased with us. Because that's the second element we should never forget, to please the devotee by our service. And that's how we can get rid of our Vaishnava aparanta. So these are the activities of Krishna. After finishing his mid-afternoon meals, then they take a little rest under the banyan tree, and then by this time some demon or the other is sent by Kamsa. Then Krishna, has his nice sport to, kill the demons. Then as soon as it is about to be sunset, the sun is about to set, then Krishna leads the cows back to Vrindavan, and he comes back. And when Krishna comes back, he is like filled with the dust of Vrindavan. So Mother Jashoda, as soon as he comes to the palace, Mother Jashoda immediately keeps, beautiful, nectarian scented water of the Jamuna for Krishna. It is nice and cool. And then in that water, then Krishna takes bath. And as soon as Krishna takes bath, you know, he has fresh garments that are kept. Mother Jashoda puts on a beautiful, you know, garland, forest flower garland on him. And then he has his evening meal with Nanda Maharaj. And then as soon as he has his evening meal with Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and all of them, they eat, they retire for the night. As soon as the lights are out in Nanda Bhavan, Krishna wakes up Lord Balaram and says, okay, bye now, I'm going to the gopis, Hari Bol. And then he slips away and he goes to meet with his dearly beloved gopis and Srimati Radharani. The entire night is spent in beautiful confidential pastimes with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. Then in the early morning hours, Krishna returns back to his palace, to his bed. Balaram ensures that nobody knows of Krishna's previous night's, you know, beautiful activities. Nobody knows about it. And then Krishna is then lovingly woken up by Mother Jashoda, and then he starts his Ashtakala Leela again. These are the beautiful activities, the nectarian activities of Krishna. And the beauty of these activities is that Krishna does the activity in such a way that although it is a routine, but still there is variety in each and every one of the activities that Krishna does. There's no same activity, you know, and nobody feels that the activity is same every single day. That is the beauty of Krishna's activities. They're so beautiful. Taranam Madhuram. Then Taranam Madhuram. Taranam means Krishna is a great swimmer. He swims very beautifully and he swims on the waves of the Jamuna. Taranam, on the taran of the Jamuna. And because he's such an expert swimmer, he can also take us across the Bhava Samudra. Bhava Samudra means the ocean of material existence. Because Krishna is such a great swimmer, if you just hold on, so Krishna will take us across the ocean of material existence. We are all sinking, we are drowning in that ocean. But then Krishna comes, he will save us and he will take us back home, back to Godhead with him. So he is the master of liberation. So, Karanam Madhuram, Taranam Madhuram, Haranam Madhuram. Haranam Madhuram means he is Haran. He takes away everything. That's why he's called Hari. Jo Haran kar lete hain sab kuch. Jo hamare man mein, you know, any kind of, you know, nasty things, all negativities of lust, pride, greed, envy, anger, all of these nonsense things which are just, you know, making roots in our mind. All of these things are just taken away. It is just, you know, Haran actually means kidnapping. Rukmini Haran. Srila Prabhupada translates Rukmini Haran as kidnapping of Rukmini. So that means we really want Krishna, when we say that, yes, Krishna, you are Hari, take away everything from us, we actually want Krishna to kidnap all of our negativities. We really want Krishna to do that. We should pray to Krishna that he will kidnap all of our negativities. And then finally he will kidnap us and take us back home, back to Godhead with him. That is Hari. Jo haran kar lete hain, who takes away all of our negativities. Haranam Madhuram, Ramanam Madhuram. Ramanam Madhuram means he is the emperor of sweetness. You know, Ramana means he gives pleasure to his devotees. Raman means who himself is very, very happy all the time and who gives happiness to others. That is Raman. And in whose association if we stay, that we will also be enthused with that same happiness. That is what Raman means. That's why we say Radhika Raman. Raman means that one who not only is happy himself, but whoever associates with him will become happy. And he will associate in such a way that happiness will become infested within that person. That is the beauty of Ramana. So Ramanam Madhuram. Krishna is the emperor of pleasure. Ramanam Madhuram. Vamitam Madhuram, Shamitam Madhuram. Now, Vamitam Madhuram is all of his offerings are very sweet. Offerings means, any kind of bhoga that Krishna has offered to. That is very, very sweet. It's all very nectarian. Why? Like we discussed, is because that it is made with so much love. Krishna accepts it with so much love. It is offered with so much love. So Krishna accepts it with so much of love. And he gives it back to us with so much love. And when we eat, we are infected with so much love. And when we are able to distribute that, then we infect others with so much love. That is why it is said that Vamitam Madhuram. And his peacefulness, Shamitam. Shamitam means Shama, means that Krishna is always very peaceful. That he is never agitated. You never see Krishna with wrinkled eyebrows and he's in tension and, what should I do? Never we see Krishna like that. He's always, in bliss. He's always in ecstasy. He's always the master of all pleasure. He's never in tension, never in anxiety. So we never ever can, we see that even in Srila Prabhupada. The only anxiety that Srila Prabhupada always had was that how will the people of this material world go back, all of them will go back home back to Godhead. And it is said that Srimati Radharani also has a headache. She has a headache because she's crying tears of separation from her children, from all of us. Because we are not there with her in the spiritual world. So she, like a loving mother, is feeling that separation. But even when Srimati Radharani is crying, even when there is a picture of Srimati Radharani, she's like sitting like this, and her eyes are rolling down tears. But even in that condition, Srimati Radharani is looking like the epitome of bliss. Because even her crying, even her experiencing all of these emotions is not actually putting her in the anxiety like we face anxiety. In our anxiety, what do? We actually, raise a ruckus in our anxiety. Right? We actually just, we become so restless, we do this, we do that. But Srimati Radharani becomes calm in her anxiety. That is the difference. She's so calm, she's so relaxed. Because that is the mood that even Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has come with. Because he has the mood of Srimati Radharani. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is crying tears of ecstasy. That seeing the fallen conditions of the people of this Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada is in that same very mode. That he is in anxiety. He has the sense of urgency that we have to reclaim the fallen conditioned people of this Kali Yuga. That is our mission. So being Srila Prabhupada Anugas, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, that is our prime duty towards him. That share this knowledge with each and every one we come across to. That is our prerogative, being part of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, to give this knowledge to everyone we come in touch with and give them this knowledge of Krishna. And once we do that, when we are preaching to others, when we share Krishna consciousness with others, that is actually showing our anxiety. Because we are participating in the anxiety mission of, curing the anxiety of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, curing the anxiety of Srila Prabhupada, curing the anxiety of our Guru Vargas. We are in the anxiety mission. But when we do book distribution, when we do Harinam, when we share Krishna consciousness with others, are we like this? Do we do it like that? Or we do it with so much bliss? Don't we experience so much bliss? We do. How? You know, this is, we are actually doing the most anxious work. We are in anxious mission. But we are experiencing bliss. That is what is the beauty of spiritual anxiety. Spiritual anxiety results in bliss. So that is why that anxiety that we experience when we share Krishna consciousness with others, that is called shamitam. And then we can experience the sweetness of shamitam. Shamitam madhuram. So Krishna is the emperor of shamitam, of having anxiety, but on a completely different level as we understand the word anxiety to be. His anxiety is relaxing, calming, blissful. Krishna allows us to experience that when we participate in his anxiety mission. So this is the verses that we covered today. So we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for wonderful class, Mataji. It was really enlightening. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam Mataji. Yeah, Hare thank you Krishna. Mataji for explaining very nicely the different aspects. Mataji, like, is there any sequence, Mataji, that is being flown here in describing the activities or in describing the different aspects of Lord Krishna here?
The flow, in the sense, actually, there is quite a bit of repetition also in this entire Madhurashtakam, if you see. You know, what even the third verse, you know, the second line, he talks about Paner Madhura. You know, and then here he talks about Pitam Madhura. So there's quite a bit of repetition. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada always describes that, you know Laddu. Laddu means a sweet ball. So whichever part of the sweet ball you bite, it is going to be sweet. It's not that you bite the top, you'll have a different kind of sweetness. If you bite in the middle, you'll have find different kind of sweetness. No, Laddu is round, but you will experience the same sweetness whichever part you bite. So this Madhurashtakam is like that. I hope you understand. I hope I was able to
yes,
explain
Mother. Yes,
thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Ganasudha Mataji. Your explanation is also Madhu. This Madhurashtakam. And it's like also you're singing this Gita. It's Madhu, very, very wonderful. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
You are very kind, Komodiki Mataji. Please bless me so I can continue to serve. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. This is Sudhakar Prabhu. Very, very nectarian, Mataji. After a long time, I'm joining these classes. Very enlightened. Again, as usual, with your beautiful depiction of Krishna Leela. Mataji, one question I have. So, in every pastime, we see that, there is, even from Mother Yashoda, the gopis, they feel the pain of separation. There is some kind of pain, either separation or some kind of pastime will clearly say that first they feel the pain, then they will see the Krishna, they'll meet. So so Krishna has a plan, like whenever he run a pastime, he just want to give first the pain and then satisfy them with his beautiful activity. So they feel the pleasure also. Mm-hmm. Just want to know how pastimes are organized. It's very difficult to understand, but want to hear from you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yes, yeah. Very, very nice question, Prabhu. Thank you very much for that. You know, we need to understand that what we, you know, just like how I was explaining the word anxiety, you know, when we hear the word anxiety, for us it means what it means to us, right? Anxiety means that we will be in tension, we will be in, you know, we will make others' life miserable, we will make our own lives miserable. That is the, you know, the way that we relate to the word anxiety, right? When we think of the word anxiety. But Mother Yashoda is in constant anxiety all the time. She's she has anxiety fixed with Krishna. You know that, oh, my Krishna's dancing on top of the Kaliya. Oh, look at Krishna, what is he doing? What is Krishna doing? He's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Imagine the amount of anxiety that Mother Yashoda is going through. But in that anxiety, the kind of bliss Mother Yashoda experiences, it is on a completely different level. Her anxiety is not, you know, our anxiety, the difference is that our anxiety is related to us. It is very selfish. But Mother Yashoda's anxiety is selfless. It is for Krishna. It's got nothing to do with us. She's not even thinking about herself. She's only thinking about Krishna. And because she's thinking about Krishna, in that state of her anxiety, she's actually experiencing bliss. That is the nature of Krishna's, you know, anyone who's connected with Krishna. So that's why we see even Srila Prabhupada, I mean, this is what I gave you an example of anxiety, you know. But even Srila Prabhupada, if you just see the life of Srila Prabhupada, how much, you know, tribulation Srila Prabhupada went through in his own life. He came in the Jaladuta at an age where people take retirement. He started a lifelong mission. He came on the Jaladuta. He suffered 2 heart attacks. He was alone, old man, traveling across the 7, you know, oceans, coming to a completely foreign land. Imagine when we were coming to this land, we had everything set, right? That where we are going to stay, which company we are going to go and work for, you know, which house we are going to stay in. Everything was decided. Who's going to come to welcome us? Who's going to come and take us from the airport to this place where we are going to go? Everything was decided. But imagine Srila Prabhupada. He just had that one-way ticket to come to America. And he didn't even know if there's going to be anybody to receive him at Boston Harbor when he would land. But he came by himself. In the middle of the night, he arrived at the home of Gopal Agarwal in Boston. And Srila Prabhupada stayed there in Boston for a month. But he didn't satisfy himself that, oh, okay, I have finally just come to America. I have fulfilled my Guru Maharaj's mission. But that old man, he then went to New York. He created this entire mission for an entire year. Srila Prabhupada struggled on his own. So much struggle. Can we imagine the kind of struggle, the kind of tribulation Srila Prabhupada took? Srila Prabhupada writes that apparently I was alone, but I never felt alone because I always felt the presence of my spiritual master just right by my side. And then what Srila Prabhupada accomplished? An entire mission, an entire movement filled with loving devotees who just love him to such an extent that they're ready to give their lives for this one old man, Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada took over so much. But he could take over this kind of tribulation because he was feeling the ecstasy. Apparently, anybody who will undergo this kind of difficulty will give up everything and just, you know, sit in one place. Prabhupada didn't do that. Because he knew that every step that he was taking, that it was like a step that he was taking to fulfill the instructions of his Guru Maharaj. And he was deriving great, great, great bliss in that tribulation, in those troubles. So when devotees undergo trouble in their life, they actually take themselves out of the equation. And they do it in a selfless way, so that their guru and Krishna is pleased. Then there is no suffering, and that so-called suffering becomes blissful. That is what happens. And we see that even in the life of our own spiritual masters. We see that, you know, we can see them, you know, they're having such physical difficulties, but those physical, you know, difficulties never stop them from traveling and preaching, from giving Krishna to all of us. They can very well choose to just stay in one place and everyone goes to them, but they are coming to us in spite of being so elderly, so much, you know, filled with so much of physical, you know, difficulty. But still they are traveling, still they are preaching. Why? Because they are getting that bliss. They are not having themselves, they are not keeping themselves in the equation at all. It's all an act of selflessness. And when we act out of selflessness, when we do everything for Krishna, then apparently it may look like suffering, but actually we experience bliss. I hope this answers your question, Prabhuji.
Yeah, we're very nice, Mataji. So, in essence, though it looks like material anxiety, it's a transcendental pain, actually, whatever. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Beautiful question, Prabhu. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, such a beautiful class, Mataji.
Thank you, Vinaya. Thank you, Vrinda. Hari Bol. Thank you. All right. I'm so sorry that today's class went a little long. So sorry for that. I beg your forgiveness. But if there's no more questions, we can end here.
Yes, Mataji. If nobody has any questions, can we end the call? So let's pray opportunity to all the devotees and Kalasudha Mataji, Vancha Kanpada Rudyasha, Kupasindu Hesha, Patitana Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah, Anantakoti Vaishnavanda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.